Song, folks. I believe he'll do it again. You know what that is? That's exactly what we're talking about tonight. That means there's an expectation in the heart of a believer that God moved before and he's going to do it again. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever seen that in your own life? I want you to pick in your mind to start to think about the greatest move of God in your personal life. Now, I know that's salvation for us, but let's just pick something else. The greatest move of God in your life. Just take a moment to ponder that. God has just did something so amazing, so big, that you kind of say, I don't think he'll ever do something so big in my life again. And right in the middle of that phrase, if we're saying that, is a word that we're talking about tonight. It's called expectation. That's the difference between thinking it and seeing God deliver it. It really is. If we have no expectation that he's going to do anything, where is our faith, right? For those of you who've had such a monumental move of God and any move of God, right? We just need this thing called expectation to be the biggest thing in our lives as far as our faith. You're going to find out tonight that it's bigger than probably you really even imagine. And the more habit of expectation you have in your life, the more move of God that will most likely show up. I personally think God likes that. See somebody on planet Earth and, wow, that person's got some serious faith for me to move, some serious expectation that I'm going to show up. I don't want to let that person down. Right? I can see God just sitting there. I don't want to lead that person down. I'm going to send. But if there's no expectation, it kind of makes me feel like, what do you want God to do? If you don't believe God's going to show up, then what do you expect? I believe God sits up there and says, I'm just waiting for this expectation to be so great and so powerful in our lives. Okay, I'll go down and I'll do it again. And this time will be bigger than the last time. And then our expectation becomes a habit. And then the expectation swells up inside of us. And he says, okay, I'll do it again. And this time, it's going to be bigger than the last time. Right? That's exactly how you're going to learn it tonight, folks. So as we go to prayer tonight, just think about something big that God's done in your life. And I want you to pray with me, God, just do something just as big, if not bigger, for me again, dear Lord God in heaven. Father God, I believe that you'll show up again. I expect you to show up again, Lord God. There's nothing in my life that says otherwise. Lord God, I believe you'll do it again, bigger and better than you ever did before. Even though the mountain in my life appears a lot bigger than it was before, you are bigger than the mountain. And I believe and I expect that you'll show up once again, Lord. I pray tonight, Father in heaven, that the Cross Point Church family learns tonight that they have that control over their faith. The Bible says to move a mountain. It doesn't take much. Father God, I pray that you implant in each and every one of us tonight what the scripture calls the mustard seed of faith. Just enough. That's all we need for the expectation to show up for you to move the mountain in front of us. Lord God, I pray that that's tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, look at somebody next to your folks and say, I've got that mustard seed of faith right down inside of me tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, sir. Good evening, Cross Point Church. Good evening. Somebody said to me, good morning, Pastor. Right? I said, good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Right? We are on week number 5 of the Divine Habits of increase for our lives, right? I am so appreciative, like I said on Sunday, that I am so appreciative that you continue to come out. People are in the house, the people watching online on a Wednesday night. Now, don't tell me it's the weather is just so lovely outside that you're missing all this stuff, right? I got up today and left the house. I left pretty early, and I sent my wife, Nicole, back a text and said, wow, it's just beautiful outside, right? It's 54 degrees and pouring down rain. I thought, wow, but I thank God anyways. You know why? Because I got up, right? I got up. Welcome to Cross Point Church, folks, on site and online. Take a big, deep breath. We got a couple more weeks of the divine increase, practical divine increase things we're talking about on a Wednesday night. Sunday morning, this coming Sunday, you are going to be blessed. It is Baptism Sunday. And if you've been around if you've been around Cross Point, yes. Been around here long enough, you know that we really celebrate that. And it's also Pentecostal Sunday, Pentecost. And we're going to celebrate, there you go. Now, that wasn't planned at all, right? That wasn't planned at all. We are in a series, folks, as you know, called Position for More. We are winding down the last couple of weeks of this series on Sundays and also on Wednesdays. When your alignment meets God's increase, when your alignment, that's your position, your spiritual position meets God's increase, God's positioning you for more, right? That's what we're talking about. We are not studying how God moves. We are studying how God positions us so he can move in us and then through us. And on Sunday mornings, we're talking about now the external. He's now positioned us internally, right? He has formed us, prepared us, and now he's going to move through us, and we're going to be doing that through power on this Sunday morning. Wednesday nights, we're talking about just six practical habits that we need to put in our lives for that increase or that growth. Just practical things, not things that we probably would think of, but things that if we just put this in our lives, God can move. And you're watching that happen because many of you have reached out to me and told me about your testimonies, and they are powerful, powerful testimonies. Remember, a habit is behavior pattern. It's a behavior pattern that's formed or developed through ongoing repetition. Just repetition. And it starts to become a part of you. Just like at the New Year, every year we talk about this, you know, people have all these grandiose ideas of going to the gym, and that usually lasts for 7 days or 10 days because there's no habit. And they say if you get to 30 days going to the gym, you've got a habit established. Now, my wife blew my mind today. She got up and she says, I need a coffee. I have a habit of coffee, right? I said, a habit of coffee, right? As she sits in the front pew drinking coffee, right? Right? My phone went off before service, and I knew she was heading to the church because it said she was at Starbucks using our Starbucks card. Another coffee. I said, wow, she really does have a habit of coffee. Oh, that was tea. Oh, I am so sorry. Let's pray, right? So it's tea, but that's okay, right? I do the same thing, folks. You know that. I'm at the coffee shop every morning, pretty much every morning, extremely early, working on things for the church behind my laptop, so I get it. So we have gone through four habits. Habit of prayer. That's your intentional habit that you have built into your life. Not just to pray, but develop a habit of praying. Not just a prayer, a casual situation that once in a while you do a prayer. No, it's the intentionality of developing the habit to pray. And I gave you the pen and the paper model on that night, if you remember. We wrote down about a prayer, about increase, and we laid hands on it and we prayed over that. Second week was the habit of God's Word. That's aligning yourself with heaven through the reading of the Word. I passed out a rally handout to you. They're available at the VIP Center, or you could go online on the Church Center app and just download any one of these. Rally handout is read, ask, listen, live, and yield. And we talked about how you do that night. The habit of hunger. The habit of hunger. What we feed is what we hunger for. The more we feed something, the more we're hungry for it. We want to shift from some of those bad habits of feeding things in our lives to good habits. And we did that appetite audit analysis that night out on the VIP center. Last week, we talked about the habit of agreement. Agreement with God, agreement with yourself, which may be a tough one for some of us, right? And then agreement with others. Agreement with others, right? We talked about that. All this is in the Church Center app that you can download and take a look at, or again, grab it, the papers at the VIP Center on your way out tonight, because there will be another one that I will pass out. You may already probably have it as you walked in, our first impressions team, right? So tonight, we're going to talk about the habit of expectation. Now, this is probably a habit you had no idea we would talk about, because you're probably saying expectation is not a habit. And I'm going to show you, you would be incorrect. Expectation is not only needs to be a habit, it probably is the number one habit that we need to put into our lives to see a move of God in us and through us. I believe that God moves on the expectation in our hearts. Now, if you've been around our ministry long enough, you know that I preached a sermon series on this like years back. Like, it's been a few years, right? I talked about that. I talked about the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground of a miracle. And some of you in this worship center and watching online would say, Pastor, I've had an atmosphere of expectancy in my life, and I got that miracle. I got that miracle, right? Many of you. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Now, that's a common theme in God's word, folks. Expectancy is a common theme in God's word. Sometimes we don't know how God's going to move. We don't understand when he's going to move, and we don't understand what that move looks like. But what happens in the scriptures are people prepared themselves for a move. Even though they didn't really know what that looked like or meant, they just knew it was coming. So they aligned themselves with heaven, prepared themselves for something to be a moving in their life. God's going to show up. And a lot of times it was through prayer. A lot of times it was through waiting. Don't you love that one? Right? Other times it was by just watching. But the word expecting was always in the middle of it. Because why would you watch for something? Why would you wait for something if you didn't expect it to show up? Why would you wait on God? Why would you watch? Why would you read God's word or pray if you were not expecting him to show up? Now, I will tell you, some of us do that. We actually go through the preparation, but we fall short on the expectation. And then we wonder why God doesn't show up or didn't show up the way we expected him to show up, right? Watch what happens tonight, church. So it goes like this. Expectation, watch what this says. Expectation is a habit that keeps believers spiritually positioned between what God has promised and what God is preparing to release. So now we have this area between what he has promised you and I. Now the scripture has many promises. And I thought, well, I could list them, but there's so many to list. But there's many promises. And at the promise to at the release, you and I are sitting in the middle, and there needs to be some significant expectation that God's going to release something in us and through us, or we may not see it. And there is what we're going to talk about tonight, folks. There's what we're going to talk about. The position for more series is when alignment meets God's increase. This habit of expectation is literally living in anticipation of God moving. It's a habit of anticipation. I live expecting something to happen. I will tell you that I really get up each morning and I go and I sit at the coffee shop or come to the office or something and I start my day or I have an appointment and I really believe and expect and anticipate, what is God going to do today? What is he going to do? And guess what? He never disappoints. He never disappoints. So let's jump into Hebrews 11:1 because this is the scripture that we have talked about. Many of you know by heart. It has been a scripture that people use in faith and all that. We're going to talk about that tonight because that's so it fits, right? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, we don't know the author of Hebrews. Many theologians speculate who it is, but it doesn't matter. We don't know who it is for sure. It's not identified. But we know this. We know that the author is writing to Jewish believers that are really struggling. This Jesus thing is becoming real hard. Now, it's general. They're scattered. Now, kind of like when we talked about on Sunday mornings, Paul writing to the church of Galatia because there's these false teachers and preachers coming in and saying, listen, you need a little bit of the law and a little bit of Jesus or no Jesus and all law. Remember we talked about that? Mm-hmm. So this is a little bit on the same scale, same type of thing. Jewish believers just scattered and really struggling, just like today. We are at times struggling with our Christian walk. We struggle, right? So he's writing to them. Lots of pressure, lots of persecution, struggles, and this Jesus thing is quite hard, and you know, Christ and following him is more difficult than I ever thought it would be, is kind of the premise, the high-level premise. And so the author is writing about maturing your faith, maturing our faith, right? Strength, perseverance. He's writing about what does your position to faith look like in Christ. And throughout Hebrews, he identifies three areas. Three areas, okay? I believe in God. I trust God. I expect God. That's what he's writing about. Developing a mature faith, you got to believe that he is. You've got to trust that he will deliver and expect that he'll show up. Now, many of us tonight may struggle with that. We may really struggle. So let's kind of dissect this a little bit and jump in and talk about real briefly faith that believes in God. The writer in Hebrews 11:6, a few verses later, says, but without this faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is God. That he is God. That he's sovereign, and that God really exists, right? In other words, you have to believe that there is a God and there's a reality of God. You have to believe that. And many of us stop there. We say, okay, I believe in God. And we literally stop our faith where I believe. I'm a believer, and I believe there is a God, and he's sovereign. And we stop. Okay? But the faith doesn't stop there. Faith has to trust in the God that you believe in. Okay? It's deeper than just having a couple people agree together of some subject. It goes much deeper than that. Trusting God in Hebrews talks about God's character, talks about God's wisdom, talks about God's promises. So you've got to start believing in all that and trusting in it. I believe there's a God, and I trust in him for his wisdom, his leading. I trust in his promises. I lean on that, or I rest in that is what it says. I rest in the fact that I could trust, right? I rest in that. That means it gives me comfort to know is what it means. I settle there. Now, some people stop there. I believe there's a God. I trust in all his wisdom and character and the promises, and they stop. I think they missed like the big thing. And they stop there where I believe and I trust him. Okay? But true faith throughout Hebrews is expecting God. There's an expectation that shows up. I expect God. What does that mean? That means I expect God to have an active response to my needs. I expect. That's me aligning with heaven, saying, I expect God to show up. Not only do I believe and trust him, I expect he will show up exactly when I need him to show up. Now, I'm not talking about him showing up the way you think he should show up. I'm talking about the way he knows he should show up and knows you need something. Right? And that's the expectation of God. Believing in God, trusting what he says, and expecting him to come in, right? If your faith truly believes God is moving into your life, expectation then becomes inevitable, right? If you have an active belief in God, and then God's going to move in your life, then the expectation just shows up as a byproduct. But if you don't think God's going to really show up in your life and do it again, then you really don't have a reason to have an expectancy in your life, right? I don't think God's going to do that. I think that's too big. I don't think he can do that. I don't think he can heal me for this. I don't think he wants to do that. I don't think he wants to, we talk ourselves out of our own expectancy. We talk ourselves out of it. That's why we talked about the agreement last week and saying you have to have agreement with heaven, agreement with yourself, and agreement with others, because you literally can talk yourself out of a move of God in your life. I don't think we should think, right? That kind of gets you in a little muddy water, right? So let's practically break it down. Faith says God is and can. Just practical things, right? Faith says God is, okay? Trust says God is faithful to move in my life, right? Expectation says I know he's going to show up. Just really practical, right? In other words, pick a promise. Faith believes the promise. Trust rests in the promise, but expectation is a position that you take that fulfills the promise. God promised me, Pastor, that he would help me get out of debt. God promised me a new job. God laid this on my heart. Do you expect that to happen? I was listening to the Dave Ramsey show today, which is the finance show, Christian finance show. Dave's been around for 30 some odd years. You know, it's all over the internet, big ministry and whatnot. I like to listen to him when I'm traveling and driving. And then this person called in today, and it was exactly what we're talking about. God told me that I would get out of debt. Now, I can't say if it was today's show or not, because I listen to the podcast and it just runs, so I'm not sure which day it was. But, God told me he was going to help me get out of debt. And then the response by the team is Dave and his daughter, I believe, says, do you expect it to really happen? Yeah, I expect it. What are you going to do to make it happen? What are you going to do? God's not going to write you a check, right? But the expectation is God's going to what? Show you how to do it. God's going to move and provide you the opportunity to do it. I thought that was so fitting for my message tonight. But without that expectation, if you don't have that expectation in your life, your faith starts to get a little passive. I call that stagnant. And the less expectation you have, the more stagnant it gets. I can always, when I'm talking to people, right, I can always tell when they have really stagnant faith because they don't expect God to do anything anymore. I used to say, if God doesn't do another thing for me the rest of my life, he's done enough. He does not approve himself to me any longer. But guess what? I still expect him to move. And he does. Right? But if we don't expect, we're going to start getting stagnant faith. We start to act different about our faith. But that expectation, folks, keeps your faith alive. It keeps your faith moving forward. It fulfills the promises in your life. There's an expectation in your life that God's going to continue to do something. Take that expectation out of your life, and you are kind of like cutting off your own legs, right? It's such a powerful word, right? Your expectation is the evidence that faith still believes God is active. Do you believe God is still active in your life? Faith that no longer expects eventually stops positioning itself. You don't position yourself anymore in prayer as a habit. You don't position yourself anymore receiving the word to align yourself with heaven to see what God's speaking to you that day. You don't do those things anymore. Why? You don't really expect any response from heaven. So your position is no longer the position you used to have. And then we wonder why we're not hearing from heaven or God's not coming in and responding. We're not in the right position. So let's take a little bit deeper dive into Hebrews 11:1. You know, we hear this verse so much, and it's, you know, I think it's a little oversimplified, so I think I'm going to go a little bit deeper to bring it maybe out a little bit more for us. So let's read it again, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. The Jewish believers were struggling with their faith. Jesus is difficult. Something's going to show up, but you just haven't seen it yet. And it says there, faith is a substance. Substance. What is that? Faith is a substance. I start diving into the research about faith. I've done this a million times. Faith is a substance. That means there's something there, right? It means there's a separate and independent existence to your faith. Faith is a substance. Oh, goodness, what does that mean? There's a separate and independent existence. The Greek word for substance is a word called hypostasis. And it means there is a separate, independent foundation in your life, an assurance, an underlying reality, a confident certainty that there is a God. There. The substance of heaven. Your faith has an underlying foundation of heaven. Did you know that? It's not vague. It's not your optimism, right? It's assurance. It's a confident assurity or a confident certainty that God is present. And then it says, things hoped for. That's not wishful thinking. That's not a guess, right? That's not what it means, things hoped for. No, it's not a positive attitude. Do we need to have a positive attitude? Of course we do. Is that what that means? Of course not. If I have a positive attitude, that's a things hoped for. That's not what it means. It's biblical hope. It means confident expectation. Confident expectation. My future, I trust and is anchored in God's faithfulness. And I'm going to tell you, when you say biblical hope, things hoped for, you are forward thinking. And forward thinking in Scripture always stretches us. Remember the Scripture that we talked about weeks ago of the tent? Stretches us. Forward thinking, things that we hope for. God always stretches us for those things. Always stretches us, right? Then it says the evidence of things not seen. In the Greek, the word evidence means it's an inward conviction of certainty. I'm certain it's there, even though I don't see it yet. I know it exists, even though I don't see it yet. I know God's going to heal me, even though I don't see it yet. I have this expectation that that's going to happen. That expectation, that conviction of certainty becomes reality. Because you transform your mind, transition your mind, I should say, from like a hope it shows up to I know it's already there. That's the power of the word expectation. It now says, I know it's already there. I don't see it, but I know it. Ever have that feeling where you know something's going to happen? or something's going to happen, you know, and you say after the fact, I knew this was, I felt that, right? I knew it. I knew that was going to happen. Multiply that feeling, folks, exponentially, as we taught before, because God put exponential multiplication inside created life. Think about that on a much larger scale. Now healing shows up. Now deliverance shows up. That's God's multiplying of exponentially in your life, right? That's the expectation. So expectancy is the inward convincing before an outward manifestation appears, is what that means. An inward convincing. Now my question to Cross Point Church is, how long does it take you to be convinced? How long? There is your expectation. How about this phrase? Pastor, I'm just not convinced. If I've heard that once, I have heard that a million times. I'm just not convinced. Your expectation meter is way low, right? No confidence in heaven, right? Before the outward manifestation shows up, it's got to have some ingrained convincing inside of each and every one of us. What does that mean? That means there's an anchor of the character of God so deep inside of us that it convinces us regardless of any evidence, and we can't see it. It doesn't matter. We are convinced this is going to happen. I have never met a person that was so expectant and convinced of something and it didn't happen. I've never met that person. Now, I have met many people that were so expectant and convinced that God was going to do something so big in their lives that some people would say, that's a pretty big stretch. But that's what got them to the miracle. That's what got them there. Their expectancy meter was just off the charts. And there's some of you that are sitting here tonight that I know your stories. And that is you, right? In a few months, this church is going to start doing Breakthrough Sundays. Every quarter, we are going to have some people give their testimony of the breakthrough that God gave them in their life in the last 3 months. That may be some of you sitting here tonight. And we're going to celebrate as a church the fact that you expected a miracle and that miracle showed up. Why are you going to do that, Pastor? Because the testimony has power. And if you see somebody else being expectant and getting this miracle and God delivered them a miracle, that means your faith is going to rise. That means your expectancy meter is going to go higher. And then you're going to trust and believe because you see real evidence of God moving in somebody else's life, right? You're going to see that showing up here in the months to come. But that expectancy is anchored in the character of God. It shows up in Psalm 27, 13 through 14. David says, I would have lost heart. Now, David is just writing about, you know, all kinds of things, like enemies after him, just a lot of stuff going on in his life, and he kind of makes this blanket statement in Psalms. He says, I just would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. That means I expected to see the goodness of the Lord show up in my life, so it didn't matter how many enemies were chasing me, it didn't matter what it looked like in the physical, I still expected the goodness of God to show up like a flood in my life and deliver me, is what it means. And he writes about it. Now, he's not writing about one certain thing, but you know, most of you, that he's had some challenges, right? Committed adultery, had some big victories, was on the run, chased by enemies, right? He's had like a full gamut of experiences, right? And right there he says, unless. That means I would have crumbled if I didn't expect God to show up. I would have been dust if I didn't expect God to show up. Biblical expectation is just not wishful thinking, right? Okay, expectation is the core, the very core of our spiritual positioning. The next 2 weeks on Wednesday night, expectation, and next week is availability, are just core to repositioning or positioning us for more of heaven, more of an increase. You can't get more if you're not expecting more. You can't get an increase if you're not expecting God to deliver something to you. Okay? So before Pentecost came publicly in Acts 2, the outpouring which we're talking about this Sunday, the power of Pentecost, the exponential increase at the day of Pentecost, before that shows up, the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2, the outpouring, Jesus says, go into the city, go up, right? They go to the upper room, the 120 people gather, they start to pray, and they're doing all those things we've talked about many times, and they're waiting on the promise of the Father. Something happens before Acts 2, something happens in Acts chapter 1, okay? We talk so much about Acts chapter 2, which I'll do on Sunday, that we sometimes forget about Acts chapter 1. What happened? Acts 1:14. These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication. These people were preparing themselves, as we have talked about. They spent time in the Word, which was Jesus' direct teaching, which later became the Word, right? The Gospels, right? His direct teaching, they had that. They hung out with the master teacher. They had that, right? It says here they're praying. We talked about that. Habit of prayer, 10 days of prayer, constant prayer by the group. Pray, pray, pray. They're praying, right? Supplication, earnestly seeking. Another habit that showed up is they're hungry for what Jesus said is coming, the promise of the Father, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They're hungry. And it says one accord. What's that mean? They're in agreement. All the habits show up right there, the ones we've talked about. And the habit next week is what happened when the Holy Spirit poured out power. They made themselves available. They walked in availability. But before they walked in availability, they expected something to happen. And they positioned themselves in Acts chapter 1 for Acts chapter 2. Without Acts chapter 1, there's no Acts chapter 2. Prayer, following what God, what Christ told them to do, all those things, right? Was all the preparation. Their habit of expectation in that room and all the things I mentioned turned that preparation into God's response. You think the 120 in that room, folks, were expecting something to happen? I will guarantee you, because they would not have been preparing if they didn't expect something to show up. Our problem is we don't do enough preparing for something to show up. And then when we start preparing, we don't have the expectancy in our lives for the outpouring. And then we, you know, just think if you prayed for 10 days for something, but the outpouring shows up on the 11th day. And you stop because you're tired of waiting on God. Waiting is not delay. Waiting is preparation. And we look at it sometimes as delay. If the 120 in the upper room before the outpouring showed up, the promise of the Father, were to stop praying on day 9, day 10 would not have been prepared for. They were expecting something for the first 9 days, and Christ told them to go and prepare for the promise of the Father, and they did that. What it means is they weren't going to stop until the promise of the Father showed up. I'm staying expecting, and I'm going to stay in an attitude of preparation until it shows up. They didn't quit. I just wonder how much expectancy was in that room for those 10 days. With all those people, right? You know it was packed. You know it was packed. They didn't have mansions in the city back then, right? Remember what floor it was on? Right? Somebody shout it out. What floor it was on? 10th? 15th? It's packed. I'm going to let you have that for homework, right? I can't tell you. And Paul spoke of this in Romans 8:19. He says, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits us. God created heaven. God created the heavens and the earth. Sin interrupted earth, right? Sin changed God's plan. And now we are awaiting the restoring with expectation. Is there any believer in the house tonight that's not earnestly expecting God to restore earth the way he intended it to be? We live as Christians expectant. Until it's for us personally. Then our expectancy it's not as deep. It's not as powerful. Right? Christian life is inherently expecting. Right? Christ's return, resurrection, and all the things, final redemption, everything. The new heavens, the new earth. Somebody shout amen to that, right? Right? Jesus sitting on the throne, physically in Jerusalem, right? The river flowing in the middle. I mean, just everything, the expectation that we have for that. But folks, that expectation's got to be cultivated in our lives. And here's what happens. When you get disappointed and you don't process that disappointment in your life, your expectation goes down. God failed me. When delay shows up in your life, we get discouraged. God failed me. He's taking too long. When your prayer time becomes just casual prayer time and not a habit of prayer, it's not the same anymore. Expectancy goes down. When we come in on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, we start to worship with the wonderful worship team that we've been blessed with, and that worship time becomes casual. Because we really don't think God's going to do anything during worship, let alone during the preaching. Our expectation goes down. It's going down, right? That spiritual pursuit in our life starts to weaken. Cynicism replaces anticipation. Now we're on dangerous territory, dangerous ground. Church, people rarely prepare for what they no longer expect. If you're not expecting anything, you're not going to prepare for anything. That's why the enemy doesn't want you to have a habit of expectation from heaven. Because the enemy knows that phrase right there. People don't prepare if they don't expect it to happen. And the enemy will attack us there, folks. So I'm going to ask a few questions before I get to our handout. The question I have is, what am I truly expecting God to do for me in this season of my life? Did you ever ask yourself that? What am I expecting God to do? Where has disappointments weakened my expectation? I've been disappointed, Pastor, so many times that I'm not sure I can expect anymore. Have I stopped preparing for things that I once believed in? I don't wait. I don't pray like I used to. I don't have this habit of reading the word like I used to. On and on. What promise of God do I need to return to in my life? What do I have to reinstill inside of me that I used to have, but I no longer have? What I've got to do? What do you have to do? What would you change? This is a question you're asking yourself. Well, what would I change if I genuinely believed God was really still moving? If you really believe God is still on the throne and he is still active, he still responds, what do you have to do? That's positioning, folks. What do you have to do in your personal life to ensure your position of expectation is strong enough that God has a response for you? What do you have to do? And I believe God's just going to start speaking to all of us. Now, when you walked in here tonight, you should have been handed this piece of paper that we do each week. Practical stuff. Expectation, alignment, audit. Don't you love getting audited? Right? You didn't know you come every Wednesday night and get an audit, right? Now, I have a representative that's a friend of mine from the IRS that's going to be here next week, and he's going to help us out. Come with your checkbooks, right? Living aligned with the anticipation of God's activity. Okay? Expectation is not emotional excitement. It is the spiritual posture of people who truly believe God is still moving. You do things with intent because you still expect God to move. He still speaks. He's still fulfilling his promises in your life. If you're not expecting, you're not in the right position, right? What biblical expectation really is? Well, it's not wishful thinking, positive thinking, or emotional hype, or denial of some type of reality. It's not those things, but it is confidence rooted in God's character, alignment with God's promises. He will heal you. He will deliver you. Faith anticipating God's activity in your life. It's spiritual readiness for God to move in your life. Is this us? Do you really believe? Right? So here's the expectation diagnostic. How about those words, right? Rate yourself honestly in the following areas. If you got a pen, you can do it tonight. If not, do it tonight. I mean, do it here or do it at home. But do it. And then go back and look at the numbers and be honest with yourself. No one's going to pick these papers up. That's just for you, right? Rate yourself. 1 is very weak all the way to 5 is very strong. It's a Likert scale, but that probably doesn't mean anything to most of you. It says, I approach prayer expecting God to respond. I go into prayer and I expect him to do something. I approach worship expecting God's presence to move. Right? I believe God can transform my difficult situations. Do you? I remain spiritually attentive during my waiting seasons. Whoa. Some of us put delay in there. It's not delay, right? Waiting is preparation. Okay? It's preparation. Change your thought process. Change your thinker from not delayed. It's not a delay. It's preparation. God's preparing you in a season of waiting. Okay? I prepare spiritually for what I believe God wants me to do. Are we? Do we do that? I resist cynicism, passivity, and spiritual numbness. I'm resisting that. I'm just not going to get involved in that because I believe, I expect. I anticipate growth and transformation and revival. Do you? Do we? Do we earnestly seek that? Do we believe that? Do we expect that to happen in your personal life, in our church life? My faith remains forward-looking instead of stagnant. Jesus is forward-thinking. Jesus is moving. Are we moving with him? Right? On the back it says, deep self-reflection. Oh no, now we're getting really... You might need an extra piece of paper to reflect on these questions. You want to do this maybe at home because we can't give you enough lines on the small paper that we have here. Where has disappointment weakened my expectation? What disappointment? Some of you would say that God's just not touching my physical body and I'm disappointed and so I really don't expect him to do anything. I think God's waiting for your expectation meter to go up before anything happens. Okay? Have I unconsciously lowered my expectations spiritually? My Bible says God does the impossible. So there's nothing that he can't do. What promises of God have I stopped actively expecting? Everybody has answers for that question for sure. What promise that God gave you that you are no longer expecting him to fulfill? I would challenge you tonight, folks, to go back to that and raise your expectancy meter and say, God, you promised me this. I know that was you. I know you promised to do this for me. And align yourself with his will, with the word of expectation. What areas of my life reveal spiritual passivity instead of expectation? Number five, if I believe God is still actively moving, what spiritual posture changes should I make? That is the repositioning that we need in our lives. What do I got to change? God, reveal that to me. I got to change something. If it ain't working the way it's going, then you might as well change it to get to where God wants you to be. Right? Expectation and alignment. Expectation keeps believers spiritually positioned between the promise and the fulfillment. The faster we expect God to show up, the quicker he'll respond. I just believe. Expectation keeps those believers positioned between the promise and the fulfillment. Without expectation, your faith becomes passive, worship becomes routine, prayer becomes casual. We talked about this. The pursuit of spiritual things weaken, and your spiritual attentiveness declines. But if you're expectant, your faith is active and alive. Your heart remains attentive for what God has in store for you. Your spiritual hunger increases. The more you expect, the hungrier you get. You see yourself in prayer, maybe you've been there already, screaming out to God, I am ready. I am expectant. God, deliver me on this situation, whatever that is. I know you're going to show up because I have this expectancy in my heart. Readiness that develops over time. Believers stay aligned with God's activity. Talk about that next week. Practical ways to rebuild your expectation in your life that maybe has kind of dwindled over some time. I have here, return to God's promises. Just go into the Word, look at how he promised people and what he did and what he delivered. Or just go back into your private life, your personal time, and say, God, you did this for me and you got me out of this. Or you did this for me, you promised and you delivered. Now, there may be two or three that I'm still waiting on. I'm still in the season of waiting, but I still expect you to show up. How many times have we not done that any longer? Pray specifically and intentionally. Expectation. Refuse spiritual cynicism. Continue positioning yourself spiritually. That's the preparation. Stay around expectant believers. Church, I'm going to tell you something. You don't need to hang around people that pull you down. Your God's not going to do that. God doesn't do that. I'm a believer, and I can tell you God doesn't do that. I can tell you God can do anything. Anything that you set your mind to. Right? Stay around expectant believers. Keep worship passionate and attentive. See, we should come in here on a Wednesday night and a Sunday morning, and I'm just going to tell you, I don't mean to chastise my church, but these altars on worship time should be filled. Power should be active. See, we should come out of our pews and come down to the altar because here is where you meet heaven. This altar, your private prayer altar, the altars in your life, God shows up. When you come out of a pew and you're active, God meets you at the altar. You raise your hands and you allow the worship, the power of the Spirit to move. You're going to feel the expectancy. Don't you feel better after worship? Doesn't it get inside of you? Why do we walk out of a sanctuary and let the world steal it from us? If we have to come around the altar more often in worship because it's closer, then do that. I always told other pastors when we talked that I wish that the front of my church and all the pews was filled on every Sunday morning. Because those are the people that are really hungry. They come down front. Why? Because they're positioning themselves for more of heaven, and they feel the closer they get to that altar, it has nothing to do with the preacher or the worship team, but the closer they get to the altar, the more positioning that shows up. See, I believe in that altar. And I expect something to happen when I come to an altar. That's why I sit in the front row. That's why Charles shows up at the altar every Wednesday night and Sunday morning. Why? I got a feeling Charles expects something to happen. Not to pick on Charles. Charles is my friend. So, remember God's past faithfulness in your expectation and ask the Holy Spirit to awaken your spiritual sensitivity again. Church, we need to be spiritually sensitive again for the things of God, the things of heaven. We do these things, I will promise you, God will show up in a new and powerful way. He'll do things for this church and for you personally and your family that you have never seen before, or he'll do it again on some things that you saw and were very successful in your life, whatever that may be, because I know the promises of heaven. They are yes and amen if you expect God to show up. The bottom of the form says, I will not live spiritually passive. Church, Cross Point Church, we can't live spiritually passive. We can't come into God's house on a Wednesday or a Sunday just to show up. You've got to come in saying, what does God have for me today? We've got to come in here on Pentecost Sunday, and just say, God's got something for me today. I know there's a bunch of people coming in to get baptized saying, God's done something for me, and I'm going to publicly declare it to my church, and they're going to show you what God's done. They are expectant in their heart. They're wanting. I will not live spiritually passive, numb, or disconnected from God's movement. I will remain spiritually aligned. That means positioned with the anticipation of God's activity. Is that what we want tonight, church? Let's just do that. Let's leave here tonight expecting something different than what we showed up. And come back on a Sunday morning, this Sunday morning specifically, when we talk about the power of the increase on Pentecost Sunday. Father God, I pray right now, Lord, I thank you that you're speaking to Cross Point Church. I thank you, Lord God, that you are already pouring out changes in our lives, that you're pushing something upon us that we may not even known was existing, but today, Lord God, I believe tonight that there's this confidence inside of each and every one of us, this expectant posture, this expectant position, Lord God, that there's something coming. There's an increase. There's more. Something's going to show up. Lord, I don't know exactly what that looks like. You've revealed some things to me, but Lord God, I know you're going to continue to reveal things to the Cross Point Church family, both on-site and online. And Lord God, we're going to receive that because we expect it to happen. This coming Sunday, Lord God, I have been praying, as you know, I am praying for this outpouring of power unlike we have ever seen in this church. The altars would be full, and your power would show up in people's lives bigger and more expected than they've ever seen. Because we're going to take a posture on Sunday and position ourselves to receive that. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, stand with me, please. And let's just agree as a church that this expectation is our faith standing at the door anticipating a move of God. Let's think about that. That like we're right at the edge of this outpouring. We're at the 11th hour, and I don't want to quit. I just expect God to do even more, bigger and better. We will commit to remain spiritually aligned with an expectation that God's going to respond new. Can you do me a favor and give him honor and praise tonight and just say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, in Jesus' name, We now release into the community, back to our homes and throughout the rest of this week. Lord God, I pray that you lay on our hearts more than ever that we need to have this atmosphere of this expectancy, Lord God. And Father, I know you'll show up. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great night. We will see you on Sunday morning.